on the Mike McFeely Show on the Mighty 790 KFGO. And I thought that we could get in an extra 5 bonus minutes or 4 bonus minutes of Clay Jenkinson here toward the bottom of the hour and bring back Clay at 4:35 because I wanted to have an extended conversation with him about President Obama's trip to North Dakota that frankly, Clay, and good to talk to you again, frankly, we don't know much about Obama's trip to North Dakota, do we, at this point?
We don't. The Washington Post reported and the Grand Forks Herald reported that he had committed himself during the last campaign to visit Indian country. And then we learned that the Indian country that he intended to visit was probably going to be North Dakota. So nobody knows for sure just what he's going to do, whether he'll visit the oil fields, whether he'll visit the Badlands, whether he'll visit Fargo and Grand Forks. But I think if he does come to North Dakota, and I think he will, he's almost certainly going to visit the Standing Rock Indian Reservation. And the reason I say that, Mike, is that his expert, his officer in the White House for Native American Affairs is Jody Gillette, who is a member of the Standing Rock Nation.
Is this a good thing? Because I think it is. I think it's a wonderful thing, especially if he visits a reservation, because it has been so rare that a standing president has visited a reservation. I think Bill Clinton did it in 1999 in South Dakota. And before that, I don't know the last time before that that a president visited a reservation.
Yeah, I wrote a little bit about this on the weekend. Clinton was the last. In 1999, he went to Wounded Knee in the Pine Ridge, and that really had an effect, Mike. That was an important moment in the history of Indian relations in this country. And before that, the previous president who did it was FDR. Franklin Roosevelt visited a Cherokee reservation in North Carolina in 1936, and that's it. You know, think of it. We have these hundreds of Indian tribes in this country, and they once owned the whole continent. And only two presidents have, instead of inviting them to come visit them in the White House, as Jefferson would have done, have actually taken the effort to go out into the heart of Indian country, which is not at all easy to do, and presented themselves. And so I think that from that point of view alone, this is an extremely important and historic visit.
And you think it's going to be Standing Rock for the reason you outlined, Clay. Is that a good move by the president to go to Standing Rock? I'm pleased that he's coming here if he does indeed come here, whether it would be Spirit Lake, whether it would be Standing Rock. I just would love to see him do that. Would Standing Rock be your choice as well?
Well, I don't know the answer to that. I mean, he could go to Fort Berthold and then he could do 2-for-1. He could go to an Indian reservation and meet with extraordinary Native American leaders and average Indians there from the Arikara, Mandan, and Hidatsa tribes, but he could also observe the oil boom. And as you know, the conservative element in North Dakota life is insisting that he visit the oil patch so that he can declare that North Dakota is the nation's greatest success, and maybe this will cure him of his concern over wholesale energy development.
Well, the more comical thing is that they want him to visit the oil patch so they can show the world how to do things right, because it's all about policy, it's all about Republicans, as to why North Dakota is such an economic success right now. Clay, I'm going to have you stick around. We'll get back to you at 4:35. Welcome back to the Mike McFeely Show. It is 4:37 on the Mighty 790 KFGO on a wonderful Monday afternoon. Clay Jenkinson of Bismarck, North Dakota, our usual Monday guest in this time slot, rejoins us after giving us a bonus 5 minutes. And Clay, you'll see the extra bump in your paycheck for this week for the extra 5 minutes. So I appreciate you doing that for us. We were talking about President Obama's possible expected visit to North Dakota and what it should entail. Let me ask you this, Clay. I read your column in Sunday's Bismarck Tribune, and I would encourage everybody to do that as well. Should North Dakota be excited that this is happening? And will North Dakota be excited that this will happen?
Oh, I think they will. You know, I would be excited if this were Bill Clinton coming, or Gerald Ford coming, or Richard Nixon coming, or Herbert Hoover, or Harry S. Truman. This man is the president of the United States. And his politics seem to rub many North Dakotans the wrong way, but he's still the president of the United States. And, you know, Mike, North Dakota is not that much visited by presidents. And when one decides to take the time to come here out of his incredibly busy schedule, he gets thousands of invitations per week. and comes here, of all the places in the world, that's opportunity. It's opportunity for him to see this place. You know, when I travel to a foreign country, then it pops above my radar, and I notice articles in newspapers about that country, and I pay more attention to its politics and to its needs. So the fact that he will touch down in this state and spend a few hours or a day here means that North Dakota rises in importance in the national arena, and he will be thinking about the last 2 years of his term, and he's going to live 30 or 40 more years after that and do good things for this country the way Bill Clinton does or George W. Bush or Herbert Walker Bush have done. And so, of course, this is important. You know, I know a lot of North Dakota conservatives say, well, he didn't come for the flood in Minot, and he didn't come to see the Bakken, and boy, Sean was here last week, and he saw what the uniqueness of North Dakota and what a great thing we're doing for the rest of this country. I just think we need to get over that and realize that the President of the United States is choosing to come visit us, and that is an honor to the state of North Dakota.
Here's a question I raised earlier in the show, and I have some reservations about what might happen. No pun intended, by the way, but how will North Dakota Democrats view Obama coming to North Dakota? Because North Dakota Democrats, if you're trying to win a statewide race, Clay, Obama's not the guy you want to hook your wagon to in this state. And so is there going to be awkwardness when it comes to a Heidi Heitkamp or a Ryan Taylor or any other statewide candidates who might want to get a piece of the Obama bandwagon or not get a piece of the Obama bandwagon?
Well, we saw a little bit of it with the Democrats in the 2012 election, including Heidi Heitkamp. I'll tell you this much. If Ryan Taylor and Heidi Heitkamp and George Sinner Jr. distance themselves from their president, the president of the United States who happens to be from their party, because they think there's some political strategy in that, I will lose almost all respect for them at that moment. And this is the president of the United States. They are Democrats. Of course, they're conservative state Democrats, but to detach yourself from Barack Obama with some sort of self-serving notion of being less unpopular with the people of North Dakota, if you join them in their derision of the duly elected president, that would really offend me as a citizen. I hope that they don't do that. I hope that they are graceful. I hope that the Republicans are gracious with the President of the United States. I expect that they will be. You know, it's one thing to say all these things. I remember once meeting Richard Nixon when I was a young man, and I wasn't a big fan of Richard Nixon, but you get within that aura, and suddenly you're a different human being, and a humility comes creeping into you that you never knew that you had, and a deference and a respect. And Mike, you realize this person represents a third of a billion human beings. He was elected twice. Try that sometime. You know, you and I couldn't be elected to the city commission. This is a man who's been elected to the presidency of the United States. We have to show respect for this, and the Democrats should show it in huge measure, and the Republicans should show it as the party of loyal opposition.
I'm not so sure that North Dakota Republicans will do that, though. I'm not so sure that North Dakota Democrats will embrace the president either. I cannot see Jack Dalrymple or Kevin Cramer or any other number of Republicans standing on the same podium smiling with Barack Obama because they have just savaged him for as long as they have possibly could savaged him, and their entire political being, it seems, is to oppose everything that he does.
Yeah, there's certainly some of that. I think if they do that, it's a mistake. If you're Governor Dalrymple and you can stand next to the President of the United States and during the minutes before you're introduced say, I really need you to think more about our borderline with Canada, or you know the farm bill needs some tweaking in the next go around, you know, or whatever it is that they want to say. These are really precious moments that you almost never get. And you're the host. You know, the governor is the host of this important man. I hope that they realize that this is, whatever you think of him, whatever you think of his politics, whatever you think of him as a human being or a leader, he is the president of this country, and therefore your connection to him can only be good for the state of North Dakota. And the worst thing that could happen is if President Obama leaves the state thinking, wow, Heidi and Ryan were pretty cool, and cold and not very nice, and the governor snubbed me. I mean, what good does that do for the future of this state when we talk about carbon emissions and fracturing and pipelines and railroads across this country? We need to put on a good impression, and we need to be polite, even if we don't really mean it.
Well, that's so North Dakotan, by the way. We need to be passive aggressive. Even if we don't like you, we're going to pretend like we do just to make your life easier.
If the governor, let me think of somebody. Jeb Bush called me tomorrow, and he started to talk about something that really put me off politically. And I thought, you're just wrong about this in immigration, or wrong about this with education. It wouldn't do me any good to be candid and say, I think you're full of beans, Mr. Bush. What I need to say is, you know, I respectfully disagree with you, but I see, you've been the governor of Florida for two terms. I'm just a writer. I don't get to see what you see. I don't have the burdens that you have. I don't have to try to balance the things that you have to balance. And therefore, I'm at least going to listen to you with respect and with a sense of understanding that it cannot be easy to be you, instead of just thinking that I know everything and that I can browbeat you because I watched Fox News last night or I watched Rachel Maddow last week.
How can this visit by the president do some good for Native Americans in North Dakota and across the United States? Because in the end, that's what should matter. And maybe it would be better if all the politicians just didn't show up and the president was able to meet one-on-one with the people who really matter when it comes to this visit, and that's the people who live on the reservations, Clay. But how can this be a truly meaningful visit for those people?
Yeah, I'm glad we're getting back to that, because that's the purpose of it. You know, he's not coming here necessarily to see Williston or Watford City. The purpose of the visit, if it happens, is to visit Indian country. And so, first of all, it's a matter of great pride to North Dakota's Indians that this man has chosen to come amongst us. And their pride, you know, they're not as skeptical of Barack Obama as some of their white counterparts. They voted for him, and they believe that he has their interests in mind. If he listens, and I hope he does, and I hope you're right, I hope he has a very tiny entourage. He doesn't just come in and do a photo op and blather on the way presidents sometimes do in these situations. If he comes and really penetrates into the reservation and meets real people and listens, and it's not just ceremonial, he'll carry that back, and I hope, I said in my column, I hope that he has a couple of summits in the White House Treaty Room in the remaining period of his term to listen to Native peoples from all over this country, because few presidents do this, and when they do, it always leads to good things. And I don't mean more government programs. I mean cultural understanding and commitment to make sure that the scholarships are in place and that, you know, these fundamental scandals that have occurred in the BIA get settled. The BIA is every bit as scandalous as the VA, but it gets so much less attention. So the president can only gain by coming here. We gain by his coming here, and he'll leave, if he does this right, with a deeper perspective. And when he goes back and talks about Indians, I think, oh, I remember being in Fort Yates, or I was in Cannonball, or I was up near Devil's Lake, and I saw this housing operation, or I saw this clinic or this school. That's extremely important human experience for anyone, but particularly for a national leader. Only good can come of it.
Neil in Alexandria, quick phone call from you with Clay Jenkinson. Go ahead.
I'll try to make it quick, but I want to really respectfully disagree with you, Clay. If we disagree with him, we're not supposed to, just because he got elected by the majority, we're not supposed to bow down on our knees and worship or made adoration to this guy if we disagree and show disrespect. And you're going to shame on me and you're going to criticize me, but we were told, and I still got neighbors that are Germans that still relish Hitler. So I'm scared of putting some of these politicians on some kind of pedestal.
Neil, I don't think anybody's talking about bowing down to anybody or worshiping anybody. I think the word is respect, that you respect the office, you respect the man in the office, even if you disagree with his politics, the same way that you would respect a family member or a friend who would have different political views than you have. I think that's what Clay was getting at. And Clay, I didn't mean to speak for you, but I think that was the point that you're trying to make.
America. It's a robust democracy. If you disagree with him and you have a chance to meet him, you can say, I think your energy policy is all wrong, or I think you're nuts about immigration. I think we should be bold. That's what citizenship is. But I'm talking about being gracious to him. If he came to my house, if Gerald Ford came to my house, if Millard Fillmore came to my house, I wouldn't say, you idiot, get the heck out. I disagree with you and all your politics. I'd say, come on in and have a cup of tea. Now, can we have a little discussion about the Civil War? Or can we have a little discussion about truck traffic on US 85? And so I don't think we disagree with the man from Alexandria, although I do think that saying that there are still Germans who love Hitler is sort of to get the wrong energy into this conversation.
Yes, correct. Clay, as always, thank you. Thanks for the extra time today. Let's do it again soon, okay?
My dear friend, thanks for calling me.
You bet. Clay Jenkinson, Bismarck, North Dakota.